The vegan diet, nutritional yeast, and the immune system. This is Earthman Steel. Here's an excerpt from a talk I had with Dr. Joel in a coffee house with ELO in the background. Have fun.
For whatever reasons, let's just say spiritual and ecological, I'd rather be a pure vegan. If I do yeast, I could have complete protein of the highest order to build up my whole body. They are the precursors of the neurotransmitters in the brain. They are the precursors of the immune system. And every single enzyme in the body for chemical reaction is protein, and this will be my source of protein. So in other words, yeast is your ticket to freedom.
Now here's that talk start to finish.
Here we are with Dr. Joel talking about Valor and protein diets.
When I got there, the immune system was basically antibodies. Then in 1970, I was in the lab, and that lab worked out the role of the thymus. In other words, before that, the thymus was unknown. So all of a sudden, instead of having sort of one immune system, the antibodies in the serum of the blood, all of a sudden we have an army and a navy, a dual immune system. Antibodies, which are made from B cells, B referring to bone marrow, and then the T cells, which is the thymus. So you get a division of labor.
I love that. Yeah. Listen to that. B cells, bone marrow, T cells, thymus. We hear those words all the time, and yet you bring it together. I love it.
Yeah, see. So we have like a dual immune system, see. So they have, you know, divisions of labor. So the big thing, see, the history of medicine is 3,000 years old. Ancient Rome, ancient Egypt. But it wasn't until 1970 that the role of the thymus was worked out.
Oh.
And when I was in medical school, I remember when I took histology, and you'd see a picture of the thymus. The correct answer on the exam was function unknown. And see, so very recently, this whole other immune system was worked out, okay? And that's why they call them T cells, because they come from the thymus.
I love that.
Yeah. So in a baby, see, the thymus gets smaller and smaller as the baby ages, because the T cells leave home. Where do they go? They take up residence in little police stations called lymph nodes all around the body. So the T cells are the policemen, so to speak, and the little lymph nodes are the police stations.
They're all
connected by highways, okay?
So, drainage system.
Right, exactly. So you get, you know, cervical, axillary, inguinal, all around the body. So no matter where that bad guy comes in, there's going to be a local police station to check it. So it goes round and round in a parallel circulation to the arteries and veins for lymphatic circulation. Okay, what's the fluid? The fluid is clear lymph, okay? Clear lymph, but it's a parallel circulation to the arteries and veins, okay? But here's the catch. Antibodies from the bone marrow are mainly against viruses. But the T cells will hit bacteria, fungi, and molds.
Whoa.
Division of labor.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, now here's the catch. Is that I remember when it broke. I was over at Baylor, but the MD Anderson head honcho there came from, and he said that in addition to the T cells, in addition to fighting bacteria, fungi, and molds, and rejecting any type of foreign tissue protein, it also has another function. I was sitting right there when it broke. It also is the number one cancer surveillance mechanism in the body.
Wow.
And he had all the data. In other words, it doesn't matter how cancers arise. It could just be a bad mutation, be an x-ray, UV light, a chemical. It doesn't matter. So here's a cancer. The number one mechanism that steel has against that cancer, okay, is the, and this is the language, the immune surveillance system, which is the T cells going around the body in the lymph vessels, and every centimeter intercalated is a little police station there, you see. So it's called immune surveillance against cancer. So the catch is that the immune system, see, is your number one defense. what totally knocks out and compromises the immune system big time, big time, big time? The stress hormone cortisone, also known as cortisol. Okay, so the catch is anyone who's under stress is going to hit that, you know, immune system. Now don't forget, embryologically, the adrenal glands sitting on top of the kidneys, the renals, they're really two in one embryologically, inner and outer. The inner is the medulla, and that produces adrenaline. That is short-term stress, target, heart and blood vessels. After a couple of minutes, it's dissipated. But the long-term stress is from the outside, the cortex. Just like the outside of a tree is called the cortex, the outside of the adrenal is called the cortex. So those are called cortex steroids or corticosteroids, 40 of them. The example, par excellence, yeah, 40 of them. But the most famous one is cortisone. And so every hormone has a target tissue of adrenaline is heart and blood vessels. Target tissue steel of the cortisone is the immune system, specifically the T cells. So that wipes out the, you see, so the point is that wipes out the T cells. Don't forget the T cells are your major bulwark against bacteria, molds, fungi, foreign tissue grafts of any kind. But last but not least is your number one anti-cancer mechanism. That's why in all the medical books now, it's actually called immune surveillance against cancer. Big point is this. Because, it really is. See, the big point is this. Now, in a general way, you know, how does it link to nutrition? In a general way, see, the immune system is made from protein. So if you compromise, you know, your protein, you'll also compromise your immune system. Yeah, right. That kind of thing. Yeah. Mm.
Well, I eat a lot of nutritional yeast.
Excellent.
And quite a few beans and a lot of seeds and flaxseed.
Yeah.
Not enough nuts. I don't know if I'm compromising it now, but I feel really good.
Well, let's say it like this. This is an interesting point that you made. The yeast. The yeast is one of the best complete proteins you could have.
Mm.
And see, the yeast is kind of like, the yeast will grow on any kind of cellulose. So years ago, they were thinking, just take old newspapers, grow like wildfire. Why is yeast good? Yeast is good because it grows like crazy. You know, that's the strength of microbes. They grow like crazy. See, as a matter of fact, in health food stores, they used to get it originally from the beer industry, hence the term brewer's yeast, because the beer industry used to throw it away, you know, grow like crazy, all that yeast for making beer, okay? So they used to throw it away. The health food people said, hey, we'll buy it from you.
I thought it was the other way around, that it was yeast that was used in brewing. It was actually the byproduct of brewing.
No, you're right. It was the yeast used in brewing. But then it would, you know, keep on dividing, and the beer companies, well, what are we going to do with all this, you know, yeast? So the health food stores picked it up. Now you go in, it's called nutritional yeast, because they said, that was good stuff, but let's tweak it now. For example, up the dose of selenium, which people need and all that. Let's tweak it to human nutrition. So now they call it nutritional yeast.
Oh.
But the point is this.
And they kill it
when
too.
You don't want live yeast. When you have it, Steele, you are actually getting the highest quality complete protein. Even on a percentage basis, more protein than soy.
Mm.
You know, so about half of the yeast is complete protein. Okay.
Wow.
But then in addition, it has all of the B vitamins. B1, 2, 3, 6, 12, folic acid, inositol, choline, PABA, pantothenic acid.
Wow.
But also it has therapeutic doses of B12. So if you take a look at any of the vitamins, you know, the Bs, and you'll pay more for this, of course, for convenience, but you take a look at where does it come from, you'll say B1, yeast, B2, yeast, B3, yeast. In other words, if you want to pay more, but if you go right to the source, that's a big money-saving pointer.
Right.
So half of it is protein of the highest order. Number two is it has all the B vitamins, including the expensive B12, okay, and it has like about 100 times as much to prevent pernicious anemia, okay, but then it has something like 17 different minerals. So in other words, something which is very inexpensive is for, you know, let's say if you're a pure vegan, this could be your escape mechanism. You get the idea, because you could have that complete protein of the highest order,
right,
and it's not from animals. Right. It's a whole separate kingdom, the yeast.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear you say that for the sake of your body,
yeah,
and for the sake of the planet, I feel like you are getting adequate, in fact, excellent nutrition as a vegan, and that you can operate this way.
Let's just say a person for ecological, environmental, spiritual, humane reasons wants to be a pure vegan. I could understand that. Just like Steele said, the one, and in my mind, the only, and the best way, if you're a pure vegan, is to cover yourself and not have anything to do with any animal products, is the yeast. Because about 40 years ago, there was a big movement to use yeast to solve the world's food supply, because it'll grow on any kind of carbohydrate. Oh. There's two types of malnutrition around the world. One is sort of a general malnutrition, not enough calories.
Uh-huh.
But the other is called marasmus, which is protein deficiency.
Oh.
And when I first saw the pictures in medical
marasmus.
School. Yeah.
And how do you spell that?
M-A-R-A-S-M-U-S,
okay.
Marasmus. And the other, see, is kwashiorkor. And that's a Swahili term from East Africa with a lot of consonants, you know, K-W-A-S-H.
Yes.
They're getting enough calories, but they're not getting enough protein.
Mm.
You see these kids with these big bellies, and you think, man, you know, they're overfed, and it's just the opposite. If you take a look at the liquid part of the blood, which is the plasma serum, what you have is the albumin in the serum, and what that does is fluid balance. And if they don't have enough albumin in the blood, which is the exact same protein in egg white, the albumin, okay, if they don't have that in the blood, then, but because of osmosis, there's not enough protein molecules to hold in, so to speak, the fluid in the blood. And the fluid will leak out into the tissues, and that's how you get the kwashiorkor. You get the idea?
Yes.
So paradoxically, it looks like they've been eating too much,
wow,
and it's just the opposite. It's protein, yeah, starvation. So basically, this is really, you know, not my expertise, but there's been sporadic movements over the years to use yeast, which will grow like wildfire on any kind of refuse, cellulose, old newspapers like crazy, to solve the world's food supply, especially of the protein. So what Steele said is a very good point, is that, okay, I'm a pure vegan, great, and I just, for whatever reasons, let's just say spiritual and ecological, I'd rather be a pure vegan. Let's just leave it at that. You know, we all know what we're talking about. Great. But if I do yeast, I could have complete protein of the highest order to build up my whole body. They are the precursors of the neurotransmitters in the brain. They are the precursors of the immune system.
Mm.
And every single enzyme in the body for chemical reaction is protein. And this will be my source of protein. So in other words, yeast is your ticket to freedom if you're a pure vegan.
Yay. All right, Dr. Joel. That was Dr. Joel.
Yeah.
What a great journey. Hope you enjoyed this, listening in to Dr. Joel and I. I thought it was going to be an argument here, but thanks a lot, Dr.
All right,
Joel.
My pleasure, Steele. My pleasure, yeah.
Stop Climate Change, xoearth.org.